Our World Cafe guest today possesses one of the great voices of the last quarter century to the pop audiences. He is best known for his work with the Walker Brothers back in the 1960s. His was a stardom rivaling the Beatles at the time, and even at that point, he started pushing the envelope or reshaping that envelope into music that interested him. And that music has always morphed, changing into his present work that is very, very personal. The music is complex and inventive, always presenting sounds and forms we have not heard before. Lyrically, it can be dark and yet caustically funny, obscure, but always completely thought out. He does few interviews, so we are honored to have Scott Walker with us on the World Cafe today. Scott, welcome.
Thank you.
Can I talk about your voice a little bit to begin with? It is so unique, attractive, and I wonder how you related to it to begin with, and now.
Well, I didn't start off that way. I mean, I was a musician in Hollywood. I was a bass player, and I was working clubs and things. And the Walker Brothers got a deal, and John really was the main singer. And then they had this ballad that they wanted sung, and I was the guy who could do that. So that's really when it all started. Quite innocent, really.
And now I'm wondering, as you've gotten older, I noticed on Bish Bosh and a number of your recordings, you're using more of a tenor register. And I'm wondering, do you have to kind of get it into shape for each project?
Well, yes, but I mean, I don't do a lot of that. I'm not a trained singer. So I'll do a little singing before I go in if I know I've got a big job like this. And I'll sing at home a bit, but just to see if it's still working, because there are long stretches of time when I don't sing at all, when I'm just doing instrumental stuff or something for a ballet or a dance or whatever. So, but basically, a lot of the pitching of the voice is about the material. If the material is calling to be for the voice to be placed in a certain way, it will be. For instance, I always start, I always say this, with the lyric, and I put a lot of stress on the lyric, getting that right. And so many times in the songs, you have different characters. Now, I don't want to be welded to an acting kind of thing. I just want to give you a flavor of the kind of situation that character's in. And these particular characters on this album, and maybe the last one, are not in kind of tranquil situations. So I'm really trying to place the voice where it's going to be appropriate for that song.
Yeah, a lot of the singing on this, because of the characters, is kind of aggressive. And do you worry about over emoting? Does that ever enter your mind?
Well, no. I mean, I said in the last album, I remember doing an interview saying I wanted to keep it as neutral as possible. But with this, you couldn't. With this, you had to engage more. It was just there was a lot more stressing to be done. I don't worry too much about it. No, I mean, maybe one day I'll regret it, but we'll see.
You've not been terribly prolific, shall we say? It's been 5 years since Adrift. Tell me a little bit about the process in recording Bish Bosh and the period of time it takes.
Well, how it works is that I after I've spent this time on the lyrics, I will start putting it to music. Of course, it's not the kind of music you can sit and strum a guitar to, or you know, a straight piano part. So I start virtually arranging it on a keyboard with a very limited set of presets. I start shaping it out, and so with this limited set of presets, I realize I can make a little noise and say, well, that's going to be this. When I get into the studio with the real equipment and the right stuff and the people around me, this is what this is going to sound like. So I'm bringing in sketches. So basically about 70% of it is done, and then 30% of it is accidents and things that I'm hoping for to get in the studio from the musicians and things like that. So it's pretty much complete in my head, but it's just a question of of getting them to do it.
Yeah, I wanted to comment about that because you must have incredible communication with these people because a lot of your ideas seem unorthodox. For instance, on Tar, the sound of the swords being drawn together for the percussion, and is it easy for you to communicate with these people? Is that part of why they're your group?
It's easier. I mean, I can pretty. That's not a great example. These are machetes that are making that noise. I mean, normally, like I said, I can drive a herd of cattle through the studio now, and they wouldn't blink an eye. You know, but it's like with machetes. When I brought these machetes in, everyone really panicked because I don't know what they were thinking. But I thought, well, of all the things we've done in the studio, why are you concerned about this? And we had to do it as. I had to be able to get them out, the machetes out that very day because it was worrying too many people, you know. So, but these were big. They were talking about things with blades about, oh, I don't know, three or four feet long. I mean, these were big, you know.
Up ahead on the Pilates Punk. The righteous should flourish like a palm tree. GTFO. The righteous should perish, and no man layeth it to heart.
Scott Walker is our guest today on the World Cafe, and we're talking about Bish Bosh's new release. Has your creative process changed through the span of Tilt and Drift and this new album? Do you just seem so intent on not repeating yourself on doing how should I put it on doing things that haven't been heard before? Do you start over creatively each time, or do you build from one album into another?
Well, no. One of the things I don't do is ever listen to anything once I've done it because first of all, the reason for that mainly is that I've had to write it, I've had to produce it, I've had to virtually arrange the parts and then mix it, and you know, but you're absolutely thrashed by the end of that because you know it isn't easy in the first place. So I want to put it behind me, so I don't listen again and I move on. So I've forgotten virtually what I'd done before. So I just. But of course, it's in your the style that we've achieved. That's not an appropriate word totally, but you know what I mean. The style we've managed to achieve over the three records has changed. I imagine but we have achieved a kind of a parameters, you know, where we work. That will probably have to change now because these are kind of a trilogy. These things we've done, so we'll see what happens next.
You talked about how this all begins with the lyric writing, and I'd love to talk a little bit about your approach to lyric writing. I think I understand you say that you kind of write lyrics in clumps. Does that make sense?
Well, it's only, especially if you're constructing a big song like the main song in the album, the song Zircon, it's a waiting game, and you just have to be very patient. So often it will come in chunks. Then mysteriously, of course, like all these things happen, when you're absorbed, when you're totally absorbed, it will something thrilling will happen that you don't know how you got there. But I think what you mean maybe is that a lot of the times when you're looking at the lyric on the page, it's very black and white. They kind of stand out. I used to describe this look of a lyric on a page to me as kind of soldiers in a field, that I can move these soldiers around. It sounds quite mysterious, but if you see it on the page, and so I think the music kind of reflects that. Maybe it does happen in chunks sometimes.
Many of the subjects on this album and in the past are historical. On a very basic level, how do you decide what to write about?
Well, I mean, the historical things, I mean, the thing I always say is, look, I'm not welded to historical fact. They're just a kind of ramp that I can get started to play with the ideas from. I mean, I was very lucky with the idea of Zircon because I was wandering around, and I have a friend who's got an enormous library, and he lets me wander around and get lost in it. And I happened to open a page, and there was this one page on this character, and I thought, what a fantastic character. And I was so surprised no one has found it before, written a play about him or anything. And so I started to play with that character. I was very, very fortunate and to find him. And then I got this idea that he was a comedian. So at the beginning of the song, you have these big gaps of silence. But he's being heckled by silence. And he's feeling guilty because, silence, of course, is where everything starts from. And then the song moves in. He wants to, of course, escape Attila's wooden palace, which has become a kind of toilet to him. So he's a kind of giant, ginormous toilet. So that's why there's these insults that would be scrawled on a wall with the and of course because of the time it's placed at the beginning anyway. The phone numbers are in Roman numerals. So I'm just playing around there, and of course he reaches various stages of height as he goes along. So he's a man who has a calling. He wants to reach a kind of sovereignty, a spiritual sovereignty that has no bottom or top. And so he's trying to take off from different levels of height throughout the song, and that's what, of course, in the end he fails completely. He becomes a dwarf star, you know, and burns out.
Cut to Las Lumbago City. I am perched against the sky. A banner show of sparrows sways in the twilight. Down there, as Ishka bibbles, schlep the shade forever.
Scott Walker is our guest today on the World Cafe, and we're talking about Bish Bosch's new release. When did that begin for you? The playing with language and the importance of these lyrics, because the more I spend time with Bish Bosch, the more I understand how everything is driven by this.
Yes, it probably started around the time of in the last Walker Brothers record we made was an album called Night Flights, and I probably got the germ of it there, and. I just kind of carried it on from there, you know, and sort of widened it out, and it's kind of reached this point now, so it's a point of no return.
You talk about not listening back to your records. I'm wondering if the early days were financially successful enough to kind of fund as you've been continuing, or how do you look back on that success?
Well, it was a big success in kind of every way. Not a lot of people, as you know, from Rock Legend have wound up with a lot of the money.
Right.
I've managed to duck and dive a bit, so. And I was fortunate to be able to keep picking up work and stuff as I went along. So I'm okay.
Now you don't perform, and I'm interested in why.
Well, I stopped really back in the 70s. I could never ever get. Because in those days sound was still quite primitive. I mean, today it would probably be quite easy, but I could never get the sound right, or the players I wanted, or the conditions I wanted, and it became very frustrating and made me very, very nervous. So I decided I wouldn't put myself through that. But I'm always getting pressure to do it. Every time I sit down to write a record, I do have that in mind. But my imagination takes over, and suddenly I've got a cast of thousands, you know, and no promoter's going to do that, and it's a hard thing, and, you know, it becomes another nightmare in another way. So with good intentions, I'll sit down and start again and see if I can keep everything down, and maybe I will do. if I can get the right record, do some gigs. You know.
So stage fright is not a part of that quotient.
Well, it might be. I haven't been on there. We'll see. You know, I've been out there for a while. It might be. So, but in right now, I'm not feeling it's a big part because at least I'd have sound on my side. You know,
right?
Everything would sound decent to me. You know, and I'm a stickler for that.
Scott Walker is our guest today on the World Cafe. He has a new release called Bish Bosh, his first album in 6 years, and it is quite an ambitious work, and we've been listening as we go along to bits and pieces of it as well. But it is something that definitely requires your attention. Scott, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you.
Scott Walker, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.